Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. We're glad you're with us tonight and really appreciate it. If you can't listen live to this show, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com and just punch in Gregory Crawford on Sports Business, and every show we've ever done is right there along with the date on it. Just a couple of quick reminders here for people listening in the Portland metro area, and we hope our special guest tonight can get down for this one. The quarterly NoHo Sports Lunch is coming up on us soon, April 13th at the Great NoHo's, 46 to Northeast Fremont. Easy to get to. Everybody is invited. I mean everybody, and it is a who's who of sport and a who's not like me. And I also want to remind everybody of the great showcase that's going on April 10th at Eastmoreland Courts, and that is put on by Max Hoops and Brant Miner and his great staff there, and they do a great job. Still plenty of openings. Go to www.maxhoops.com, and you'll be able to get all the info that you ever need. I think and our special guest might be attending that Max Hoops event. Darren Landon, the head men's coach at South Puget Sound Community College in gorgeous Olympia, Washington.
Hey, Greg, good evening. Yeah, I'll definitely be there. I'm looking forward to it. Brant is a good friend and does a lot in terms of helping high school basketball players that are moving on to playing college. So I'll definitely be there with my entire staff. Vernell Willingham, Josh Wilson, will all be out there on April 10th. So high school basketball players got to sign up for it. It's a no-brainer.
Wow, the whole staff is coming. Wow, you're right. It is a no-brainer. All right, Aaron, I'm going to start out, and we're going to talk about the year you had, a lot of good stuff, but I'm going to start out with the toughest questions right off the bat. Okay. I know you only get to see mostly the men's side of the NWAC, so and you don't always see every team, but I know you'll take a shot at these, and you'll do a great job. Who is the NWAC player of the year this year in 15-16 in your mind?
On the men's side, you know, the NWAC player of the year, shoot, I guess I'm a big believer. It's got to, you know, be somebody off the championship team who we're familiar with. So, I, you know, probably their big guy, Patchen, or Taylor. You know, Taylor's more of a scorer. But their big guy, Dalton Patchen, is a really unique matchup. And, you know, he's tall, he can shoot, really versatile player. So I think he affects the game in a lot of ways. He doesn't always lead them in scoring, but since he's on the championship team, it's got to go to somebody on Spokane. So him or Levi, you'd probably have to ask Coach about it.
All right, very good. We're going to keep going. You know, you had to be in this mix. The great job you did. But, of course, you can't pick yourself. Who you got for Coach of the Year in the NWAC?
Oh, I think that's pretty easy, too. Jeremy deserves it because, you know, he's just done a great job with that program. We see Spokane quite a bit in the non-conference. We both go down to Eugene and play in the Dale Bates tournament that Bruce puts on, and caught him in the crossover this year. And then obviously in the postseason, you know, Spokane was the best team in the NWAC this year. There's no other way to say it.
All right, very good. Now, what made your team so good this year, besides your outstanding coaching of you and your staff, and I really mean that? What made your team win as many games as they did, and you had a highly successful year?
Well, I appreciate that, Greg, and I'm relieved that I don't have to talk about Spokane anymore. But our team was really fun. This was all about the players. And our team, I think, was really fun this year because we were such a good shooting team. And I knew we were going to be good. I didn't know we were going to be that good at shooting the basketball. Usually had five players out on the floor that could all shoot threes and all had permission to shoot threes. So I think that makes basketball fun to watch, and it definitely opens up the floor and, you know, makes offense a lot easier. So I was lucky enough to just have some guys that shoot it well and then are committed to getting a ton of reps in season. And we shot it at a really high level this year. It was really fun.
And how thrilling was that for you as a coach? Because you took the program over, and quite candidly, it wasn't in that good a shape. 3 years, you've done an outstanding job. As personally, there's got to be a lot of satisfaction. You're not a guy that talks about yourself. You're very humble, but on the other hand, you're also very successful. More power to you.
I appreciate it, Greg. It's really nice. You know, we've had a couple years where, to be honest, it's been challenging to go through that process. My first year was really tough. We finished the year with only seven players. But we made some hard decisions and, you know, had to do what we had to do to show what we were all about. And so it was a process. We got some really good guys in here. And this year we had a big sophomore class, and they were all great. And in the NWAC, because, you know, you're dealing with the two-year level, it's all about your sophomores. And, you know, I said I understood it, but until I had that special group of sophomores, you know, I couldn't understand it. But I think I spent a ton of time, probably more time than I ever had before in coaching this team. But I really mean it. Like, I was probably more hands-off than I've been maybe before. And that was because I just had so much trust of, you know, our leadership and just really felt comfortable with this group of guys.
Matt, it may or may not happen. It might have already happened in the NWAC. The often mentioned Bruce Chomka, the coach at Lake Community College, and I'm kind of proud of this. He's labeled me as the media voice of the NWAC. And I'll carry that mantra forever because I love the NWAC. I love what it's all about, but I like to make people think outside the box or just think. There is some talk that crossover tournaments are going to be done with in the NWAC. I'm probably not in favor of that, but I don't have a vote. Your thoughts on that? And explain to our listeners that might not know, what is the crossover tournaments in the NWAC and what might happen here down the road, if you don't mind?
Yeah, the crossovers are kind of a neat deal. They're unique to the NWAC, and it's a great tradition. It's the last, you know, big tournament right before you go on Christmas break, and it's run by the NWAC, and the sites rotate. There are 18 tournaments, and two teams from each region go to these neat 8-team tournaments. And so, you know, there's a lot on the line between regions in terms of pride, you know, and it's totally at random. They kind of select the crossover, you know, each year, so you never know who you're going to play. There's a proposal to, you know, change the format, and that's what you're referring to, is cutting it down to 4-team events where everybody plays everybody. So there's 3 guaranteed games. I understand where they're coming from on that, but since you put me on the spot, I will say, you know, candidly, I'm against any change. I think that the crossover is really cool. I think bracket play is really important. And the argument, you know, back against that would be, well, you can go to other tournaments. The crossover felt to us like the closest thing we saw to the postseason, not just because, you know, it was the same team we were matched up with in the championship of the crossover and in the postseason, but really just because it felt very official. We got to host it this year. The other ones that we've been to have all been great. And it just feels like the NWAC, you know, is, they just have a big hand in it. So it was great experience. And, you know, I just like bracket play. I think it's exciting. So I was sad to see them put up a proposal to get rid of the brackets.
Very good. Very good. Thanks for giving a candid answer. There is what I love on this program. Hey, you know, you talked about going to the Dale Bates tournament down at Lane. You know, and I've often thought that, you know, it's no secret that my best friend in the NWAC and a longtime friend is Cliff Wagner. You know what? If Jerry West is the logo of the NBA, I've often thought, I'm saying this seriously, Bruce Kafka should be the logo of the NWAC. He is NWAC through and through. I mean seriously, he lives and breathes it, and he's got all the slogans down and everything. You gotta admire a guy like that.
Oh yeah. And Kafka has just got the perfect physique for it as well, in terms of, branding the NWAC. Really nice figure. So he'd be outstanding. I would actually back you up on that 100%.
And you know what? We may bring him on a little later in the program. He might have a question for you. How does that sound? Are you up for that?
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure that's going to be big time for the ratings and stuff. It's a certified celebrity. So yeah, if it happens, I'll be ready for it. I'll be curious to hear what he's going to ask.
You know, speaking of big time for the ratings, I know everybody would love a veteran coach like you that's been around the Northwest a while. How are you going to break down Oregon and Duke? And I will say this, Aaron, my friend Dick Weiss, who I consider to be the greatest basketball writer of all time, out of Philadelphia, worked for the New York Daily News, Philadelphia Daily News, tremendous, so well-respected. The only writer that's in the basketball writers and football writers Hall of Fame. Pretty phenomenal there. But anyway, said something really interesting. He said Oregon will be just fine as long as they don't get caught up by the name on the front of the opposing team. How do you break down the Oregon-Duke game?
Yeah, that's interesting, and that's a big part of anybody playing against Duke, especially in the tournament. You know, Oregon, I didn't get to see them play that much this year. I think I was so wrapped up in our season. But once they got to the Pac-12 tournament, I got to see them, and they're really fun. I mean, I totally get what Mr. Weiss is saying about, Duke and all the tradition, but that Oregon team, those guys don't care. I mean, I just don't think that they scare like that. They're not going to be scared, I think, of, Grayson Allen or Plumlee or Ingram. I mean, all those guys are tough and talented, but so is Oregon. I know the Pac-12 lost a lot of games, but, Oregon's really hard to match up with. They can do a lot of stuff in terms of switching, because they're so versatile and long, just across the board. And they've got, a really loose, high-powered offense. And so I think Oregon wins that game. Duke's tough, but, they've also – I just think Oregon wins that game. So they're just too hard to match up with.
Aaron, who wins it all?
Oof. I already was pretty outspoken about how much Michigan State, had it dialed in the time, and how Denzel Valentine was going to be the player of the year in the tournament. So it just shows you how much I know about this stuff. But now that I get a second pick, it sounds like everybody who was trying to talk me into Kansas is probably right. I think they are at least the safe bet. If I had to put my name on a team, they just seem pretty complete all the way around.
Yeah, you keep making those Michigan State picks, you'll be driving around with a Studebaker with no doors. So,
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, Aaron, who wins the NBA title this year? As long as I got you on a hot streak here, you pick Michigan State. I think Duke will probably beat Oregon, so go for the trifecta. Who wins the NBA title?
Well, with my luck, I should probably pick the Spurs, because then I'll be wrong. And I kind of hope the Warriors do it. I'm from Northern California. It's just so exciting the way they play. People from everywhere like the way they play, and Steph Curry and, you know, Klay Thompson are two of the best players in the NBA. They play in the same backcourt. They're just really fun to watch. So I hope they win it. But to help everybody out in Northern California, I'll bet on the Spurs. That way the Warriors will have a better chance.
All right, the important part of the program now. He is calling in our mystery guest. No, he needs no introduction. No, he does need an introduction, by the way. He's not only the logo of the NWAC, he is the only guy that's ever asked me for a clothing allowance to be on the radio. So, anyway, let's bring in Coach Chomka. Once again, honing in on another guy's program. Unbelievable. What kind of question do you have for Coach Landon?
That's classic, the logo. That's too funny. Coach Landon, you are a Northern California guy, and your passion is basketball and coaching. What gives that you work the UCLA basketball camp every summer? Why do you do that?
Well, thank you. And by the way, the logo, that's going to stick for sure. We're going with that. So just remember that. That started here tonight, the logo.
Tonight, yeah.
anyways.
I just like your reference to my pear-shaped physique. You got it. You hit it right on the head, brother. That's classic.
Strong physique, man. That's
strong
adult
physique.
Yeah,
that's
come
funny.
On.
Well, you know, you better pick it up there, Aaron. You better pick it up because I understand through my – I have great sources in Eugene. They tell me he's going to be the guest poser at Gold's next week. So he's really kind of got to—he's got to work it out here hard.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
If we're all in with the logo may or may not be smoking a cigar in the artwork that we're thinking about now. It's just on the court, Chafka, maybe.
This is good stuff.
But anyway, to get to the question, UCLA was something that I started doing my first year out of college. And our mutual friend, Jesse Toplitsky, told me to work as many of those camps as you can. So I worked just about every single camp that they ran that first summer and had to cut it down a little bit over the years. The lifestyle, you know, it'll put a few miles on you working all those camps, but I still go back. A couple of my best friends go every single year, and the guy that runs the camp, Doug Erickson, is also a Northern California guy.
Douglas.
The true legend of UCLA basketball, Doug Erickson.
Yeah. Yep, no doubt about that. I think he's been there since, I think Herrick was the coach, so he's been
for sure.
Herrick, Lavin, Howland, keeps on going, so it's good stuff.
Bruce Chopka, the head men's coach at Lake Community College, he needs no introduction now that he is the logo. But
AKA
Bruce,
the logo.
You know, you are now the logo, but also I have breaking news tonight for both of you that Coach Cliff Wagner, one of the great ones in the NWAC, is coming out with a cookbook on the leading NWAC hospitality rooms. So how is that hospitality room, Coach Aaron Landon, down at the Dale Bates tournament where you're going to appear next year again?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. I've never, and this is the truth, I've never even walked into the Lane hospitality room, and here's why. We get this sweet deal here in South Puget Sound where we go to the Valley River Inn on the river every single year, and it's my favorite hotel in Eugene, and they have the best breakfast in town, arguably. So we take our players, and every single day I overeat and then show up, and I walk in with some coffee, so I don't even hit the hospitality room, so I couldn't tell you.
Oh, nothing beats those Costco muffins at the DLJ Bates, and the problem is he always brings them out at those 6 o'clock at night. It takes them backwards.
Coach Jofka did the unspeakable crime. You know, we're a Nike school. It's all we wear. And he hands my freshman Desmond an Adidas backpack because he played well in the tournament. So I told him he had to give it to his parents and never wear it around campus.
I forgot all about that one.
Right at the Dale Bates.
Yeah, that was classic.
All right, Coach Landon, you get equal time. You got a question for Coach Jofka, and it has to be basketball related.
Hey.
Actually, and this is a serious one because I love to hear people talk about this. So, Coach was at Napa Valley College.
Yeah,
when I was
Napa Valley College
when I was playing as a head coach, and he's also had a long tenure, for those who don't know, down at Lane. And so what do you think the differences were that you noticed between California JC basketball and the NWAC basketball?
Well, one thing I noticed when I coached against you when you were at Monterey was you had a nice big mullet going. That doesn't seem to be that doesn't seem to be happening right now. So new hairstyle for you. But, I think, definitely the California and the NWAC are more guard-oriented, but I think NWAC-wise is more guard-oriented than California kind of thing. You'll play against teams in California, JCs, that maybe have more true bigs than the NWACs do kind of thing. So I think that's a big difference. There's a lot of differences from the coaching point of view. It's not as cutthroat, I think, in the NWACs as it is in California. There's a lot of different things going on down there as opposed to up here. I think, it's nice to have the letter of intent and be able to offer scholarships up here. That makes it more like a solidified thing, so you don't have to recruit the kids all the way up until the first day of class. So there's a bunch of changes, but... both are great basketball venues and competition and level of play. So it's I'm grateful that I've experienced them both like you have. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, Napa Valley College, another school that has no alumni.
Ouch.
Dude, I'm speechless with your Studebaker. Comment that I've never heard before, and then the logo, and then now this one. I'm just speechless tonight. This is good stuff.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I'm going to ask both of you. If anyone questions my loyalty and my unification to the NWAC, they're crazy. I love both the men's and women's. It's my favorite league to watch, even though I'm a Northwest Conference guy, but. We've got about 5 minutes left, so Bruce, you go first, and we want to ask Aaron the same question. What's maybe one thing you would change about the NWAC? You only get one thing. One thing you definitely would change.
Who's first? To ask
Bruce who's first. Goes first.
Oh, you know what I would change on the basketball side is, just because I coach basketball, is more games. I would give the schools, you can play X amount of games. It's 30, 32, 33. You don't have to play all those if there's a budgetary concern or maybe a location kind of thing. If you're an outlying school, you can't, travel maybe as much kind of thing. But I think, that's the first thing I would change is, hey, more games. And then I would go back to the 16-team tournaments for the NWAC tournament. There was a special deal, and you and I have talked about this on and off the air. And I just think that was a special thing that, that we got rid of. And I think one site, single elimination, 16-team tournaments, let's go kind of thing. So those are two things right off the top of my head that I would want to change.
Very good. And same question for you, Aaron Landon, coach at South Puget Sound.
I was going to talk about the tournament, but the first one I'll just add on a little side piece. Even if there's not more games, we got to start those games earlier. I'd like to play more.
Yep.
But we got to get that start date, like the second week of November, so we're not forced to play through Thanksgiving and every weekend in December, especially around finals. But I think the tournament is something where I felt pretty silly. You know, when I got here and even last year when they were starting to have this conversation, as a young head coach who's not making the postseason, you look kind of ridiculous, you know, weighing in at the commission meetings and at the code voting. But I, you know, we went on the road and it was tough when, you know, we were obviously just happy to be in a position to compete in the postseason, but I would have loved to go out to the big old Toyota Center and go to that banquet that they have for all the teams. I never got to experience that. I know I'm young and new, but that would have felt pretty big time. It just went by fast, I guess, is what it, you know, I'm trying to say when we went out to Spokane.
Yeah.
And part of that's on us because we didn't win, but I would have loved to go to that jumbo tournament that they used to have.
Yeah.
Good. Hey, by the way, guys, the impact of this program, Jeremy Gross texting in, and now Jeremy Gross thinks social media is when you read the newspaper at the malt shop, but somehow he got a hold of a phone. And he texts in and he wants to know if he can get that Wagner cookbook on Amazon.com. We're going to see what we can do about that.
Got to talk
in the mail. Yeah, that's good stuff.
All right, very good. I'll let you go, Bruce, and I'll wrap it up with here with Aaron. But Bruce Kafka, you're a gem. I'm honored to know you. And I love the fact that you're associated with the NWAC. And you're associated with the great game of basketball.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the kind words. Have a good night.
All right, very good. That's Bruce Jobka, the head men's coach at Lake Community College, did a great job this year. And Aaron, wrap us up. Tell us about South Puget Sound Community College. I know you've got a great AD there. You've got a great women's program in basketball. You got a great president. And I'm still going to get up there for a meal of that famous salmon chowder, but fire away.
Salmon chowder for sure when you get up here. We've got it locked in. South Puget Sound, three years now, and we had our best year during my tenure and our best season in school history this year. So really excited about what we got going. Looking to kind of dig in and do it here for a while. Me and my wife are trying to buy a house up here, so I think that says it all. We love it up here. It's one of the most beautiful places in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, I'm sad that I'll be losing some great sophomores, but I'm excited to be watching them next year at big-time four-year schools and to get going with our next recruiting class and go into the next season.
And, Aaron, real quickly, every great basketball coach needs a great spouse, whether men or women. And just talk a little bit about your wife going out.
That is very sweet of you. She's actually on an airplane right now flying back from Nashville, where she's been working all week. My wife works incredibly hard. Joined me in the Pacific Northwest when I was just a poor graduate assistant. A coach at Concordia and had nothing going just outside of being a grad student and, you know, coaching small college basketball and believed in me. So this life that we get to live now is a testament to her more than anything else.
Very good. Great job tonight, Aaron Landon, for usual. We're going to talk to you again next week when we have Coach Gray, Coach Cal, and Coach Freeman on with you. We do that every last Tuesday of the month on the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business program. Keep up the good work. Have a great week and best to you on recruiting. And we'll talk to you again next Tuesday night, which will come real soon.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. Thanks for having us on the show.
You betcha. That's Aaron Landon, the head men's coach at South Puget Sound Community College, a rising star in the coaching ranks. And you heard it here first. A lot of people in the basketball world know that, but I know we have listeners all around the world. Good night, everyone, and thanks for listening. And don't forget to make your free throws.